and the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Amen. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And I tell you, the only way you're going to be found like that is that you be diligent, because it's not going to come natural. All right? Now, so it says there that the heaven and the earth are going to burn up. A couple years ago, I was in Florida in January. I used to go down there. All right, we got a couple people that have heard of it. It's way up there on Lake Ontario. It's a beautiful place in July. But boy, they get winter up there. And so I heard that it was snowing in January. It was snowing in Oswego. And they had 96 inches of snow in one snowing, 8 feet of snow. It's phenomenal. I go up there and I preach, and I was behind the preacher's house one day, and he's got a snow blower. I mean, the kind you walk behind with a cab on it. It's so cold. I looked at that, I took a picture of that and sent it to some of my friends down south. Amen. And my heart, great sympathy, because there I am in Orlando, and I'm down there, and I know that many of my friends are way up north, and they're dealing with that kind of snow. So out of true compassion, I called my preacher friend from that church. And I didn't know he was stuck in an airplane on the Rochester, New York runway trying to get out of there. So he wasn't home. I got his answer machine. And so I wanted to leave a compassionate, heartfelt message. And I said, this is the Associated Press, and we're doing a survey on global warming, and I thought I'd call and get your opinion on it. 8 feet of snow, and it's still snowing. Amen. But it does say that the earth's going to burn up, and I'm going to maybe surprise some of you with what I'm about to say, but I got to say the earth is getting warmer. Amen. I mean, the environmentalists are right. And global warming is a very real, very serious problem that we can no longer afford to ignore. Bear with me. You already give me the looks. But it's not caused by R12 Freon. Amen. Some of you don't remember that. And ladies, they've had you under a guilt trip about aerosol hairspray for 20 years now. I'm here to tell you that global warming doesn't have anything to do with that, or SUV exhaust, or anything else that mankind does. When I was a kid, we had a stove in the basement, wood stove. My dad had wood outside, and a couple cords stacked up all the time, and he'd keep that stove going, and he'd just bring in, and there'd be a fire all the time. Now, we had a furnace, but boy, that stove in the basement, heat rising, that would warm the whole house. If you take your Bible, go to Revelation chapter 9, and we'll read verse number 2. And the Bible says this. I'll give you a second. Time's up. It says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. I'm going to say it again. There's some truth to this global warming thing, but it's not caused by anything man's doing to the atmosphere. It's caused by the furnace in the basement. Amen. It says in Isaiah chapter 5 and 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. It's getting warmer because hell's getting bigger. Hell is being stoked by by the souls of men and women that step into eternity without the forgiveness that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to purchase for each and every one of us. Amen. And so it's getting hotter by the day. I want to preach on global warming. Well, we'll call it that anyway. And you'll get it. Let's pray. Father, I do come to you once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for these precious folks that are here. And I pray and ask, Lord God, that you'd give them something, Lord, for their effort. Pray, God, as we open the Bible, you'd give me the ability and the clarity of thought to say what you'd have said. And may it work effectively in the heart of the lost, maybe, that are here, and the saved as well. And God, we'll give you the honor and glory for anything that goes right. I pray that not one person in this room ends up in this place I'm going to preach about tonight, today. And I pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. I was preaching down in North Carolina one year, and they did like you. Well, they put out a meeting, and they made flyers. And they encouraged guys to take the flyers and go put them up in different businesses, let the community know. And this one fellow from the church took a handful of flyers, and he was at a convenience store. And he had gotten permission from the proprietor to put a flyer up on the door. And as he was taping it to the door, a lady came in, read the flyer, and she said to the young man, she came in as he was doing it, and she said to the man, "Oh, and it was such and such a church." And she said, "Do they preach on hell at your church?" That was her question. And the guy looked at her and said, "Absolutely." And she looked down and she said, "They don't at mine anymore." They don't. They should. Amen. It's pretty important in the Bible. And we need to hear about it on occasion. Amen. If you're not saved here today and you die that way, that's where you're headed. And we're obligated. And it's what you know to warn you. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke on it. Like he coined the term. It says in Matthew 5, "Thou fool, fire." Amen. It says in Matthew 18, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. Amen. And he didn't want anybody to go there, and he proved that on the cross, didn't he? He made a way for no one to have to go there. It says in Luke 16, and the Lord was giving the story about the rich man and Lazarus, and they didn't have much in common in this life. They were as different as night and day. The rich man, by the society standard, had everything going for him. He was rich, and he was fed sumptuously every day. Must have been an American. Amen. Had a nice, lived in a gated community. He's not faring sumptuously ever. He's just willing to accept the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. And on top of that, he doesn't even have his health. He's lame. He's full of sores. But they did have something in common, just like every human being has something in common. Rich or small, no matter what your station in life is, the Bible is our maker. It says in Hebrews 9, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." And that judgment day came, and that beggar was carried by angels into the presence of the Lord, and that rich man died and went to hell. Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes. That's what the Bible says. He probably had a nice funeral, because, you know, if you got no money, you can pay even a preacher, you can pay him to say anything. They probably put him in heaven, but the Bible doesn't. The Bible says in hell he left his eyes. Listen, that's the first gospel message I ever heard. Luke 16, and I grew up in church. I grew up in church, and I wasn't given enough truth to hold my attention that by the time I turned 18, I joined the military and got out there in the world, and boy, I'll tell you what, I made a big mess. 20 years later, I'm in trouble. I'm locked up for federal drug and weapon charges. I'm in jail. I'm in the hole. for starting a riot. Wasn't that big a deal, really. But I'm looking for God, and I'm looking for an escape route. Amen. I'm in there in that service just to get out of my cell, and a preacher comes in and says, we're going to see what the Bible says about you, you men that were there in the service. And I thought to myself, anything about me. He turned directly to Romans chapter 3, and he read verse 23, and the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I remember thinking, boy, it didn't take long to find me in there. And I tell you what, I knew I was a sinner. Amen. I worked at it. I worked hard at it. Amen. That's why we like preaching in jails. That's why we like preaching in juvenile detention facilities. Because when you say, you listen, you're a sinner, you got a sin problem, they nod their head. Yeah, they don't get offended. It's church people you got to convince them they're sinners so you can get them to the cross. The churches in America are full of people, good, decent, hard-working, nice people that go to church that are not saved. If you're not saved in here this morning, you're in danger of hell fire. Lord Jesus Christ preached on hell more than he did heaven. Why? Well, if you get saved, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in detail about the danger of hell. He preached on hell is because he doesn't want you to have all eternity to find out about how bad it is. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians 2, I read it the other day, but as it is written, I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. I'm going to tell you what, it is neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that reject him. And I'm going to tell you what, a lake of fire is worse than anything you can imagine. Amen. What he's saying, Brother Spurgeon. Listen, let me tell you something. Hell's real. Amen. I was witnessing one time, trying to do some personal work. I gave guy tracks that this here tell you how to, what Jesus did keep you out of hell. And here's what the guy said to me. Oh, well, that's okay. Thanks anyway. But I don't believe in hell. I thought, why didn't I think of that? I went in and had it got saved. I could have just decided that I didn't believe in hell. That's what people do. They just decide. Like we were talking earlier, somebody said, I don't want a God to put people in hell. Jesus Christ came down here from heaven to make a way for you not to go, but yourself there.
Right.
You reject the goodness and the grace of God. We're not selling it. We're sitting at a seminar. Nobody's trying to talk you into anything, but that every one of us has done enough wrong that we're not going to be admitted into a zero-tolerance place of holiness and righteousness where God lives. The alternative is hell. This church doesn't want you to go there, and this preacher doesn't want you to go there, so welcome to Sunday morning. We're preaching on hell, and we ought to. Amen. I don't preach on hell every message, so do what the preacher said and come back during the week. But if you're not saved, you need to get saved and then come back the rest of the week and it'll be much more enjoyable. Global warming, I'll call this. Amen. And I can't wait to see the reaction when it says on your website that you guys had a message on global. Probably people will read it. Let me say it again. Hell's real. Hell's a real place. It says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Shouldn't be any problem figuring out who that is. So the Lord Jesus Christ then goes on to say, and have the keys and hell. Hell's a real place. Again, the worst thing you can imagine doesn't even begin to compare with how bad that would be. Hell's not only real, it's real hot. Real hot. I don't know how hot it gets here. Amen. But I've been in places that probably don't get near as hot as it does here. And I've had people in the midst of summer, say, it's hot as hell out there today. And I say, actually, no, not even close. Amen. Traveling around in evangelism, we go everywhere. We're in Washington, D.C., man, I've taken my kids everywhere. Amen. I took them to the World Trade Center 2 months after that thing got hit. While the wreckage was still in the air, parked at Brother Veach's church, took my kids there to show my kids what they did to our country before it just became a museum and a monument. I wanted them to see. Took my kids to the United States, to the American Cemetery in Omaha Beach in Normandy, where 10,000 people gave their lives for the freedom that you and I enjoy. We forget those things. I try to get that across, get that into the minds of my kids. Not all of it was stuff like that. We'd go to Washington, D.C., one of my favorite places after Arlington National Cemetery. Is the American, the Smithsonian Institute, what do they call it? American History. I love it. It's cool. It's neat. One time we went there, it was closed for renovation. When they close a museum in Washington, D.C. for renovation, it's closed for 2 years. So we were forced to go to the Museum of Natural History. Never had any draw for me. We went there, and to my dismay, we ended up behind a class, a school, probably an elementary school class. They all had matching little yellow t-shirts so the teachers could all keep track of their class and their public school. And there I'm thinking, man, we're behind this crowd. There's us and a couple, like my wife and I and a couple of the kids. And that's going to take all day. And we're all standing in front of a skeptic skeleton of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And everybody's oohing and aahing over this dinosaur skeleton. And my little one, she's about 8 at the time, she makes it up to where it explains everything. She could probably read better than their teachers, let alone the other kids. And she's reading it, and she says, Dad, look, it says the earth is 50 million years old. She turned around and looked at me. I'm behind all these school kids. She goes, don't they know the planet's only 6,000 years old? It was like the Red Sea. It was like all these yellow t-shirts parted, and my family and I went through on dry land, and we were in front of them the rest of the time because they didn't want to be around a bunch of religious Bible people. I ended up in the part, you know, we kind of spread out, and I ended up in a part where they had a big graph, big describing the Earth's core. And I don't remember, but the Earth's core is so deep, and then there's the sedimentary layer, and they're breaking it all down scientifically. And you get to the center of the Earth on their graphics, and it's bright yellow. And you read this stuff, and it says that the center of the Earth is iron. It's all iron. But it's molten iron. That would be like liquid. Yeah. And because of the gravitational pull of the rotation of the Earth and the tides and all that, it's like a big lake. Just like the Bible says. The Bible says it's a lake of fire. I could have preached the gospel to anybody that came by that display using their material, and they don't even believe the Bible. But I'm here to tell you, beloved, it is our obligation to tell you hell's not only real, this is no game, and it's not only that, it's a place of torment. Torment, amen. Like I said, guy in Luke 16, he said in verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. See, he asked for mercy. Because the Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And everybody's going to ask for mercy. And I did it in a jail cell. And my wife did it in her bedroom. And if you're saved, you did it somewhere. But if you die unsaved, you will do it from hell. And he cried and he said, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. I had a guy in a jail I was preaching at one time say, this is hell. Life is hell. Well, I understood where he's coming from. He's locked up. He's going to penitentiary. Everything in his life's exploded. Every phone call, bad news from his lawyer and his wife. Everything bad. And he said, this is hell. And I sympathized with him, but there's a big problem with that. There isn't one drop of water in hell. Amen. So on your worst day down here, end up in hell, it's just gonna get worse. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. That word torment, torture, you know what I mean? All comes from the same root. You know, big thing on a couple years ago about we're torturing a terrorist to get information to save other people's lives. Personally, I don't have a problem with that. Oh, that wasn't politically correct. Good. Good, because I'm not political. Amen. But then you look at what the torture, we're putting a washcloth on their head and pouring water on them to make them think they're drowning when they know they're not drowning. But it just seems like that's torture? Not compared to that. Not compared to being tormented in flame for all eternity. That's what the Bible says. Hell's a real place. It's a place of regret. He knew he didn't have to go there. He's calling out to God. He's asking for mercy. He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in hell right now say, well, I got some friends there. Me too. Yeah. But I got some family there. Me too. I tell you what, if they could say something to you right now, they'd say, don't come here.
That's right.
That rich man had five brothers, and he wasn't looking for their company. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house. Amen. And he bid them not to come to this place. Amen. Everybody in hell right now knows the Bible's true. Everybody that goes to church in America is not a Bible believer, but everybody in hell is. I'm glad you made it into our midst this morning, because the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I'm not saying this to condemn you if you're not born again. I'm just saying you need to be, because hell awaits. And hell's real. According to the Bible, that's not my opinion. I'm like Brother Brian said, if I was in charge of everything, I'd change it all around. I'd be much nicer. But then we'd have an eternity like what we got now. You know that crowd that thinks we're going to usher in the kingdom? I guess we all just hold hands long enough and sing Kumbaya enough times, we're going to usher in the kingdom. We have ushered in the kingdom. This is the world as it stands right now. This is the best man can do. Think about it.
Right.
If you die without, Christ came to straighten it out, and he's going to straighten it out. And if you die without Christ, it's going to get a lot worse. Hell's real this morning. Say, you said that. It's important. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, not only is it real, not only is it real hot, not only is it a place of torment, it lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. It says in Mark chapter 9, between verse 42 and verse 48, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, the fire is not quenched. Never goes out. Never goes out. You know, one of my favorite phrases of the Lord in the Gospels is this right here. And it came to pass. Yeah. That's the way it is with our troubles and our trials and our tribulation. They didn't come to stay. They came to pass. Not so with hell. It doesn't ever pass. You end up there, that's where you spend eternity. Amen. And if you end up in hell, if you're not saved and you end up in hell, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. That's how you keep going to hell. Take your Bible. Go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And look with me in verse number 13. You know, all the time I preach on hell, I got a lot of messages on it. Amen. And And people say, well, man, that's a problem. People don't preach on hell anymore. I don't get that. But I'm glad I've been, God put me with a crowd that does. Amen. I mean, I can't even imagine going to church if people won't even tell you the truth. It says this in Psalm 86 and verse 13, for great is thy mercy toward me, and I have delivered my soul from the lowest hell. His mercy is great toward you from the lowest hell. Don't get over that. Don't let the cares of this life diminish the reality of, listen, there's no problem anybody's got that begins to compare with the problem you had a millisecond before you called on the name of the Lord. Amen. And there are times where the cares of this life begin to overwhelm, and boy, I tell you what, I end up right back there in that jail cell in Dayton, Ohio, on my knees, asking for mercy, and in light of the things that God did that day when He forgave my sin, it makes everything going on up here a little easier to handle when I know that I'm going up instead of down when this life's over. Where are you going? Within your own spirit, I'm not... I embarrass you. I'm trying to. Amen. Let me tell you something. Now, if you're saved in here, you saw what I read the verse. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. If you're saved in here, you know about hell. You have to. Amen. You have to know that that's where your sin was taking you. And if you don't know, if you think because you've been in church since you're a baby, or because you never killed anybody, or robbed anybody, or took any dope, if you think those are the things that are gonna get you into heaven, you've been lied to by organized religion, those aren't the things that get you into heaven. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Amen. That's where forgiveness comes from. Amen. Now, if you're saved in here, and I know this church, and I've known of you for a lot longer than about Christ died for our sin and was buried and rose again, that you know that He did that to make a way for redemption to be purchased, for sin to be forgiven. Amen. So you know that, and here I am this morning, probably to most of you, preaching on hell to a bunch of folks that already know about it and already have gotten the thing taken care of. But I'll tell you what, I don't know everybody in here, and if by chance you made it into our midst and you don't know that, or it's never been made clear, it is our pleasure to tell you the truth of the Word of God. But for those of you that are saved, I'm telling you something. You might know about hell. You might have your sins forgiven, but I'm going to say that to you. That ain't all you know. Hey, what do you mean? You know people that are on their way there right now. You work with people that are on their way to hell. You live next door to people that are on their way to hell. You work with people. You go to school with people. They're not saved. Saved people need to be reminded about the reality of hell. Amen. Because we get the thing taken care of, and then we just kind of just let it go. And then we get sensitive and politically correct or whatever it's called, and we don't want to offend anybody, and we don't mention it. We don't invite them to church. We don't hand them a tract because we don't want to start an argument. Listen, I'm for having grace, and I'm for having wisdom, and I'm not one of them guys, amen, that stands on a corner and degrades everybody to the point where it drives them from Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, who do you think's going to tell them? I mean, maybe some of you have been raised in church. Some of you was raised right, heard the gospel young. Some of you got it a little later in life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad somebody came and told you the truth? All right. So let me put it to you like this. If the earth could open up right now, we could just open up a big old spot and us saved people could get a whiff of the rancid aroma of burning sulfur. Amen. I was raised up in Northern Ohio. We had sulfur water. That stunk. I couldn't imagine fire and brimstone and burning sulfur. Boy, I tell you what, you ever get a nostril full of that every time you saw a person on their way to hell, if you thought about that, you might have a little more burden to tell them that that's where they're heading, and not just for, you tell them that so that you can tell them how not to go. because of what Christ did. If we could get a glimpse of the anguish on the distorted faces of those tormented in the unextinguishable fires of hell, if we could get... My dad was in World War II, and he was in the Philippines. He was an infantryman. And he said probably one of the things that stuck in his mind and gave him nightmares the longest was after when he sold and machine gun nests, and they were defending an area, and we'd send guys in with flamethrowers. And they'd burn those pillboxes out, and he says those Japanese soldiers would run out of those pillboxes on fire, and the infantry would advance, and he said, we're stepping over corpses, there's no skin on them, the anguish on the skulls of those guys that burned alive, burned into his brain. That's what's going on down there. Boy, I'll tell you what, if we could get a glimpse of that, you think it'd give us a little courage to say something to a coworker, maybe to hand out a tract, maybe to invite something to church, somebody to church. You know, we, those of us that are saved, we know what we got saved from, but beloved, I'm trying to tell you that Lord left us here to let other people know. Because hell's still after you got saved, still real after you got some victory in your life, still real after you got some areas cleaned up, amen, got your family back together, started raising kids, I got them in Sunday school, I got them where they're, hell's still real. Boy, if we could hear, that Bible says, in heaven, you know how we greet each other as we travel around? Oftentimes we go to church and say, how you doing? How's it going? We'll say, oh, all right. You know what? It's to our shame that we become satisfied with doing all right while the world's going to hell all around us. I'm going to tell you what, we need to have our burden rekindled to let other people know what Christ did, to hand out tracts, to invite people to church. We need to quit judging them and get them the gospel. That's what we need to do, because they're not doing all right. And they may think they are. Amen. Hell's real, folks. Hell's real. Listen, I'm glad it's not the only message we got, but it's a message we better preach on occasion. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me see here. It says in Proverbs 15, verse 24. Proverbs 15, verse 24, Bible says this, the way of life is above eyes. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The way of life, eternal life, is above. To those that have enough sense, take this Bible seriously enough. Amen. And then it says, that he may depart from hell beneath. That's what happens when a person gets saved. Amen. Their names comes out of those books of those folks over in Revelation 20 that are judged for their works and goes into that other book. Goes into the book of life. Amen. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Now, listen, you're going to hear global warming from now on, or whatever they call it. Climate change. I'm from Ohio. We have it every year. Four times, you know. I don't know what that's about. But it's just part of it. And you know what I say about that? Good. I'm glad. Because you've been reminded this morning of the real cause. And every time they mention it on the radio or wherever you get your news, I hope it reminds you that it's still a very real problem. That people are still going to a place called hell. I hope every time them idiots environmentalists start talking about that foolishness, I mean it is, it's a bunch of junk. What? How vain can people be for a planet that God made? That book tells us the fate of this planet, and it's all already set in stone. It's going to take place when God is ready for it to take place. We're not going to hurry it up. We're not going to slow it up. We just need to get the gospel out while we can. And so when you hear about it, I hope that you're reminded of this message today. And let me say to you this morning, the only way you can slow down global warming is to get people to Jesus Christ. Maybe one less soul dropping in there. Amen. Maybe that's, you follow me? Maybe you're in here today and you're not saved. And, you know, maybe you've never heard it on this wise before. I want to tell you what you can do to help the cause of global warming. Get saved. So you don't end up there yourself. You know, I had a guy say one time, well, I don't think I can live as a Christian. That never occurred to me. And now I've been saved 26 years and I'm still absolutely convinced I can't live as a Christian either. Boy, I'll tell you what, if I didn't stay with the wrong crowd, stay on my knees and stay in the book, amen, if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't direct my path, I am terrified by what I know I'm capable of. But my response to him was this. Well, I can help you with that, but the thing you need to think about right now is not whether or not you can live as a Christian. The issue at hand is dying not as one. Because if you take your last breath, never having asked for the mercy which you'll get on this side of that breath, you'll end up in hell. And the Lord didn't want it to be that way, doesn't want it to be that way. Hell wasn't prepared for people, but He's holy, and He's righteous, and He's just. And for us to go to sin, to go to heaven, our sins have to be forgiven. And Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for our sins to be washed away. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, a bunch of you, maybe most of you, probably most of you for sure, are born again, saved, and I hope you've been reminded this morning, and maybe a burden's been rekindled to get out them tracks or to get involved in any mission, any ministry, including praying more fervently for your missionaries that are, some of them are in places where their lives are at risk. Why are they there? To tell other people about hell. This isn't about how to have a better life. Live your best life now. No, not even close, man. My best life is to come. I got treasures laid up there. Amen. How about you? Are you saved here this morning? You've been reminded about hell. How about you that aren't? If you're not, I'm glad you're here. I'm not detecting any spirit. I'm not gunning for anybody because I don't know anybody. But if you're in here, I'm going to tell you the truth and get out of God's way. If you're in here this morning, you're not saved. You need to be, and you can be. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do? And Paul and Silas answered him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He's not a way, He's the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Say, well, I was taught. I'm sorry, brother. To heaven besides Christ, you were taught wrong. And this, in my opinion isn't worth a plug nickel more than yours. We're just going to see what the book says.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that mean? The Bible says, thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine head, thou shalt be saved. My favorite punctuation mark follows verse 10. Period. Boy, I didn't know much, but I was willing to admit I was a sinner. I didn't know much. I didn't think I was going to get out of penitentiary. I sure never thought I'd ever get a chance to go to church or Bible school, and you can guarantee I never thought I'd be preaching in San Antonio. By God, been good to this sinner right here. But it all starts with bowing your heart to Christ and getting your sins forgiven and getting the peace that only comes from settling the issue of where is your soul going to spend eternity. I hope it's heaven. It can be. Say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. Let's leave it that way. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knows everything about every one of us. And went to the cross anyway. I can't get over that. global warming this morning. Preacher, let's finish this thing off. You know what to do.